always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this? And we're live. Welcome everybody here to the Lakers Lounge Podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin, senior Lakers insider, as well as lead Lakers creator for Offside, joined on this fine Monday afternoon by Matisse Thybul. Welcome. No, I'm kidding. He's not actually here. But we are going to be watching him play basketball this season, as according to reports that date back to I think Mark Stein was the first person to draw the link there, like a week or two ago. The Lakers are going to land Matisse Thybul on a veteran minimum contract, and he will have an opportunity. I really think he'll have an opportunity to start. So we'll talk a little bit about that, as well as the timeline that went on there. The Lakers have been interested in Thybul for a long time. So I'll offer a little bit of context to that. We will break down the roster as it exists right now, but also acknowledge the fact that because the Lakers currently have 16 guaranteed deals on their books, another move has to be on the way, whether that's a consolidation trade, whether that is waiving somebody, whether that's trading Bronny to wherever LeBron signs. The Lakers are going to have to make a decision to be roster compliant, legally compliant, going into this upcoming season. So we'll discuss that as well. And then, as always, over the course of the show, if you guys have any questions or comments, go ahead and hit me with them, and I will answer as many of them towards the back end of the show as I possibly can. A quick reminder, please hit that like button. Please hit that subscribe button. Turn on notifications for the show. Turn on notifications for YouTube so you get the notifications for the show. And if you guys are listening to the show in its podcast form, please hit that subscribe button wherever it is that you get those podcasts, preferably on Odyssey, but anywhere you get them is perfectly fine by me. Today's show is brought to you in video form, as always, by Prize Picks. Use that promo code HMA. And a little bit of news on the Prize Picks front. If you use that promo code, I just got this literature in the email or via email right before I went live. So this is from Prize Picks. Starting today, Monday, July 20th, if you sign up, play a lineup for $5 and use that promo code HMA, you get $150 in free Prize Picks lineups if you win that first bet. So bet on something super duper conservative and win triple your money. Triple the original offer. If you sign up, use that promo code and win that first lineup selection. So check out Prize Picks up in the ante here. All right, let's go ahead and dive on in. Starting with the news that Matisse Thybul is going to be a Los Angeles Laker. So the Lakers have been interested in Matisse Thybul for a long time. I've documented a lot of conversations between Rob Pelinka and Joe Cronin, two executives who love to talk on the phone, love to negotiate against each other, but never actually get anything done. And in this case, the Lakers waiting out Joe Cronin led to landing a player that they've been interested in for a couple of years now, without having to give up any kind of trade assets. They get Thybul as a veteran minimum signing. Reports surrounding this situation, I think Shams reported as part of breaking this news today, that the Lakers and Blazers held conversations about a sign and trade so that Thybul could maybe get paid a little bit more, but they weren't able to come to any kind of agreement. So instead, they signed Thybul for the minimum without giving the Blazers anything. So and that's honestly pretty consistent with how talks have gone between the Lakers and Blazers, not just during the Rob Pelinka, Joe Cronin eras, but just forever. Like, those two teams have just not done very much business with each other, you know, for the last 30, 40 years. So, yeah, this is a great signing, objectively great signing. I have zero concerns over this signing whatsoever. In fact, I would call it a great addition to the roster. It costs the Lakers nothing in terms of trade assets. This guy is on a veteran minimum contract, so even if he does miss time, as he has plenty over the course of his career, you're like, we sign him to a minimum. And, sometimes it works out really, really well, like it did with Dwight Howard a couple years ago. Now it was longer than a couple years ago. But then sometimes you sign somebody to a veteran minimum contract and they're never able to get healthy. And either way, though, with it being a vet min, you could waive him and open the roster spot for somebody else if he isn't able to stay healthy. If he is able to stay healthy, Matisse Thybulle is legitimately helpful. He's a great defender, and he also shoots north of 37% from three-point range. Now, not a ton of volume there. He's somebody who defenses tend to ignore, but he's also capable of making those defenses pay if they back off just a little too far too frequently. So I was actually talking with Pete and with Jovan today in our little group chat, and I kind of bounced around the idea of Thybulle as the day one starter over Jake. I think, when the two guys are healthy, and Jake is a lot more frequently healthy, but I think Thybulle is probably the better player than Jake LaRavia, in a vacuum when both guys are available. Now, he is shorter. He's only 6'5". So you're asking him to play up a bit above his size, above his punching weight. But still, that's how he's always played. He's one of those sturdy defenders with a really low center of gravity who is really difficult to move. He has that mentality that, he just kind of gets after it defensively, no matter who he is asked to defend, and would immediately bring some of that edge to a starting lineup that is, outside of Kessler, kind of sort of devoid of that edge defensively. So I like the idea of Thybulle starting. It would make the Lakers pretty short. They are still working through scenarios to land a starting power forward. And according to other reports, they are still, I think Wojcie reported this, that the Lakers are still kind of combing the league for other big alternatives to having Kevon Looney be their day one backup, which is something I'm not really all that thrilled about. So that'll be interesting to see how that plays out there if the Lakers are able to open another couple of roster spots. But Thybulle is a great signing. Absolutely out of the park. Not a grand slam because it's a veteran minimum or whatever, but he's a home run signing for the value, for what you didn't have to give up. And in this case, the Lakers' patience paid off. Now you could say there's opportunity cost. It would have been nice to have a player like Matisse Thybulle over the last couple of years. But even there, it's like you would have only had him for 40-ish games over the last two seasons combined. So, I would probably say that for what the Lakers didn't have to give up here, and for the player that Thybulle is. This is I'm absolutely thrilled about this signing. This is a really, really, really solid addition to a roster and to a rotation that doesn't have nearly enough of what Matisse Thybulle brings to the table. Now, the Lakers have 16 roster guaranteed deals. There are only 15 roster spots. That would mean
something's coming.
Mm-hmm. By the way, that trailer looks sick. I'm really excited about it. Unironically, really excited to get a good Marvel movie that everybody gets behind. Anyway, the something is coming indeed. So you have, again, 15 roster spots that you can carry going into the season. Lakers have 16 guaranteed contracts on their books right now. There is more work that they are looking to do, right? Obviously, Jonathan Kuminga is the name that we have heard the most about. But, you know, you also have PJ Washington as an option out there. Kyle Kuzma is an option, even though I think he's a little washed. The Lakers are kind of combing the league, trying to find proper value given the relative lack of assets that they are currently working with. They want to make a consolidation trade, much like they wanted to make a consolidation trade last year so that they wouldn't have had to lose Jordan Goodwin for nothing. But sometimes it works out, and other times, as was the case last season or last offseason, they weren't able to find that consolidation trade, and they wound up losing Jordan Goodwin for nothing. So I'm going to go ahead and continue to pay attention to that. But I have heard that like the two kind of most likely candidates to be moved are Dalton Knecht and Jaden Hardy. There just isn't any interest in Jared Vanderbilt around the league, and the Lakers aren't in a position right now where they can attach assets just to get rid of his contract. So I don't think he'll be the one moved, unless, you know, something changes. And then obviously in the case of Bronny, right, everybody is still waiting for LeBron to announce his decision. I think he's already made his decision. Now he's just figuring out how they're going to announce it and, you know, dotting T's and crossing I's. But yeah, they're just kind of rolling there. You know, as it stands right now, I think ideally Bronny gets traded to whatever destination LeBron selects for like a second round pick or something like that. And then, you know, you trade Jaden Hardy and Dalton Knecht for the starting power forward, maybe even utilizing the second round pick that you could theoretically get for Bronny. And that would open up between those two moves. That would open up two roster spots, because you would be getting back, you know, starting power forward X, and then you would have those two roster spots by way of Hardy and Bronny. And then I would assume that the Lakers would use one of those roster spots on like a high ceiling, low floor center, kind of a younger one, a younger project type center. Nick Richards comes to mind. And then I would imagine the Lakers would prefer to go into next season with an open roster spot, just in case somebody gets bought out or waived over the course of the season, and the Lakers would be able to act quickly. So that seems to be the plan. Not much has changed really because of, you know, the fact that we've heard about Dybul for a little while. It's just a matter of, you know, they've executed this step in landing Matisse, and now they have to execute the rest of their steps to fully, you know, finish this roster, put the final touches on this roster. And it's kind of hard to call finding a starting power forward a finishing touch. Like it, you know, just in terms of the timing, obviously it is kind of a finishing touch, but it's a key decision that the Lakers have to make. I you know, presented Pete with the hypothetical of this, you know, being the roster when he and I spoke on Friday, but I would, you know, obviously much rather go into the season with that starting power forward job or starting other forward job that isn't Luka, to go to a better player than, say, Jake LaRavia or even Matisse Thybul. Not saying that, like, in the case of Thybul, it's not that you're looking for that much better a player, realistically speaking. It's just that he is so unavailable so frequently that it's hard to go into a season with him, you know, kind of penciled into however many games that he might start. Maybe things turn around and he's able to be available more frequently. But in all likelihood, you have to plan for him missing time, which means it's really difficult to put him, you know, to consider him a starter going into the season. So those are going to be, you know, the things that we should be looking for as far as what comes next. Now I'm interested to see what you guys have to think about the state of the roster right now and the possibility of those next steps. All right, we will go ahead and Ashley Mowry, I don't think they're looking at Dick Richard. I think that, you know, in that case, Richard would be Richard, hypothetically. But I don't think that is who they are. Dick Richard is who they're looking for. I think they're looking for Nick Richard right now. Eric McGilp, 9704. Palinka is killing it. Let's see who the starting power forward is before I'm willing to go out on that limb. It's this weird thing that, like, for some reason we have reached the part of the offseason where people think I'm being too hard on Rob Palinka. All I said in yesterday's show is that, like, Rob thought going into this offseason that somebody was going to fall or become available by way of some of these cap crunches that a lot of these teams had to operate under. And he was right. And the Lakers front office was right in thinking that somebody would become available by way of that, those cap crunches. Where he was wrong, and this is objectively true, where he was wrong was thinking that the Lakers would benefit from some of those cap crunches more directly than they have this season. And, you know, they thought that maybe Isaiah Hartenstein or Alex Caruso or Lou Dort would maybe be available to the Lakers. That was never going to be the case, as I had kind of indicated last year. I never thought that that was going to be the case. They thought that maybe Aaron Gordon or Christian Brown or Cam Johnson or Peyton Watson would become available to them. And that was never going to be the case. And as it has played out, it was not the case. So it's not me, like, I'm not like criticizing Rob for the sake of criticizing Rob with that thought process. It's just pointing out that that was a miscalculation. Now, the Lakers have still had, I think, a pretty damn good summer despite the miscalculation. I think they've had a pretty damn good summer despite saying goodbye to LeBron in the fashion that they said goodbye to LeBron. Next season's team, or the roster that we have seen put together so far this summer, is like, I'm looking forward to watching it play basketball. We have to wait two long ass months to finally see this group play basketball. And by the time we actually see them, like, I'm going to be champing at the bit to, you know, maybe see that group play together. So, they're younger. They are, I think now we can, like, depending on who gets, the nod as the starting power forward, I do think they are more athletic than last year's team. They are, I think they make more sense offensively. I don't know that I'm going to call them better or more talented offensively than last year's team, because you have to do so much to make up for losing LeBron James. And there's like a very clear direction with this roster. Now, is it executable? Is this like long-term vision worth carrying out? Time is going to tell, but as it stands right now, you know, I'm not willing to say that Rob is killing it, because they clearly need a starting power forward. But I will say, like, setting that to the side over there, I've agreed with most of the decisions made to this point, at least in vacuums. Together, I don't really love the Colin Sexton signing still. Until they're able to move Hardy for something, I don't really love trading a legitimately good backup center for Jaden Hardy. I'm a little nervous that Kevon Looney is just washed. But like, aside from that, like, you know, I really like landing Walker Kessler. As I said earlier in the show, I really like the Matisse Thybulle signing. You keep Austin, which I think was critical to considering this summer a success. And, you know, we'll see what Mamu is able to do in a bigger role on this team. Grimes is a really interesting player in that, like, he certainly shows a lot of flashes where you're saying, geez, this guy screams starter. But then he also has a lot of stretches where you're like, you're screaming at the TV, why aren't you better than this right now? So we'll see what comes of that one. But it's been a fascinating summer. I'm not willing to say that Pelinka is killing it, but I will say that it's a solid run to this point. All right, let's see. I'm going to scroll up to the top. Mark Harper asks, who do you think is gone to create space? Vando, Dalton, or Bronny? I don't, like, as I said earlier, I don't think Vando is going anywhere. I just don't think that the Lakers want to give up the assets necessary to move Vando. And again, like, this team doesn't have enough perimeter defense. And I think that by having Walker Kessler and having him, you know, just anticipating playing deep drop more frequently because you have Walker Kessler on your team and maybe switching a little bit less, that makes it so that Jared Vanderbilt makes a lot more sense defensively on this team. I think that Rob has added enough shooting to where you can play Jared Vanderbilt more frequently and have him be the only non-shooter on the team. Like, I'm really looking forward to Mamu Vando lineups. I think that's going to be a really, like, something like a lineup with, like, Grimes. We'll go Sexton, Grimes, Vando, Tybull, and Mamu. Like, that's an interesting lineup. I would watch that lineup. Now, I don't know how many minutes both Luka and Austin are going to be sitting. So if you want to say, like, Austin goes into that Sexton spot, I'm down with that. Same goes for Luka going into that Sexton spot. I think that would make some sense there as well. But I do think, though, that, like, Vando and his skill set as kind of a really pesky defender who really gets after it, takes somebody out of a rhythm, surrounded by enough shooting to make him make a little bit more sense out there. And then on top of that, like, this guy, Vando, I think is really important within the context of this group's, like, locker room vibes. Thibault, by the way, is a really good locker room vibe kind of guy too. I think that, you know, Vando makes a lot more sense here, and I'm not as, like, adamant about getting Vando off of this roster as quickly as humanly possible as I maybe thought I would be going into the summer. I think he makes a lot of sense on this team. I think he sticks around. Bronny, we'll see where LeBron goes. Dalton is almost definitely gone one way or another. Like, if there was a candidate to be waived, if, like, you know, in case the Lakers aren't able to find that consolidation trade, I actually think Dalton is the most likely player to be waived of anybody on this roster. He and his camp have been looking for a new situation dating back to last season. And I think the Lakers have been kind of anxious to move on from the Dalton Connect experience. And so one way or another, whether it's the consolidation trade where he and Jaden Hardy go out the door together, or whether it's just Dalton getting waived to make room for this Thibault agreement, I think that is the likeliest way that this plays out. I would be shocked if Dalton Connect was on the team next season. Let's see. Next question here comes from RoboCop 829. With all these signings to fill a roster's need, tells me Rob was always aware what the roster needed all these years and just chose not to do anything SMH. I think that's accurate. I think it's very accurate that I don't think Rob ever forgot what a proper roster looked like. I just think that he and the Lakers had made a very conscious decision to not continue to, you know, throw assets and money at the LeBron AD era. I think they had made their decision on those couple of guys as far back as a few years ago, and you know they were gonna try to split that baby of we are going to be a relatively competitive team, but we aren't going to be that competitive because we need to keep our roster or our powder dry for whatever happens after the LeBron / AD era. So I'm with you there, RoboCop, that I think Rob has always kind of known what a modern contending championship or championship contending roster should maybe look like. Some of the critical parts of that roster and all that good stuff. But I also think that, while LeBron and AD headlined that roster, Rob was never going to go all in. Whereas like now where he has Luka Doncic, somebody he actually believes in, you did see him go all in. This is the first season in recent memory, unless something drastic changes, that the Lakers are going to be going into a season without a first round pick at their disposal to potentially utilize at the trade deadline. That has never happened under Rob Pelinka. And that to me signals that he fully believes in Luka Doncic and he is doing everything that he possibly can to get that signature on the extension next year when he can sign it or whatever. And we'll see, how effective these moves are, not just at, building a legit contender, but also just as importantly, maybe even more importantly, securing that long-term commitment from Luka Doncic. And, with LeBron and with AD, I just think just as we have seen very clearly that both sides were ready to move on from each other between the Lakers and LeBron this summer. And I think this plays a role in how ready LeBron was to move on from the Lakers this year. But it is very, very clear that Rob Pelinka stopped believing in LeBron and AD. I just agree with it, to be completely clear. But it's very apparent that he had stopped believing in LeBron and AD a while back. And as soon as Luka Doncic showed up, it was about, all right, let's see how many chips we have to put into the middle of the table to build out a roster that Luka believes in enough to sign the dotted line in the next couple of years. All right, let's go to the next question here, which comes from Is Bronny for a second, then Jake and Vando and seconds for PJ, then signing Nick Richards realistic? No. I would be pretty surprised if PJ Washington gets traded for anything less than one first round pick this summer. And obviously the Lakers don't have a first round pick, so that obviously complicates that matter. But I think PJ, being a winning player, he's on a very workable contract for the next 4 years during his prime. I think he fetches them or at the very least Dallas is expecting him to fetch them a first round pick if they ever do finally trade him. And the Lakers don't have a first round pick. So that as a starting point, I just don't makes that kind of unlikely. Now, as far as like Bronny for a second, it's going to be interesting, how desperate these teams get to acquiring or for the sake of acquiring LeBron. One thing I've been kind of wondering about is if you're Cleveland, do you acquire Bronny for the sake of convincing LeBron and distancing yourself, widening that gap between Cleveland and Miami and Cleveland and Golden State? That hasn't happened, obviously. So clearly, this is the thing about the LeBron sweepstakes as they are right now is everybody keeps on talking about, man, it's really incredible that LeBron at 42 years old, is finding a way to dominate the league's momentum to the extent that he has. And it's like, yeah, he's doing that because he's signing on the minimum. Like, he's LeBron has stalled out the rest of the league for the most part because all of these teams really, really, really want LeBron at the minimum. They didn't really, really, really want LeBron at $55, $57 million last season. They didn't want to have to give up anything for LeBron. When, remember last year, last summer, when LeBron was like golfing with the you know, Cleveland hat or whatever it was he was, and when he went to Cleveland's practice facility and was taking pictures with some of their young players there, like, at that time, Rich Paul had kind of canvassed the league to see if they could find a trade partner that was interested in LeBron, and didn't find anything. Nobody wanted to give up the assets and contracts necessary to trade for LeBron last season. And so, like, now you're looking at a situation where, like, all of these teams are getting LeBron completely on their terms. Of course, that's holding up the rest of the league. Of course, everybody is waiting to see how this thing plays out before they make whatever next decision comes. And even further to that point, it's insane. Like, Golden State could have LeBron yesterday if they would have just traded for Anthony Davis and agreed to an extension with Anthony Davis. And then LeBron goes up there and plays in Golden State. But they don't want to do that because they don't want to have to pay Anthony Davis that next extension. Cleveland could have LeBron James already right now if they signed or if they agreed to a sign and trade with the Lakers that sent like Jarrett Allen back to LA. But they didn't want to do that, right? They see the possibility that they could sign LeBron on the minimum, and they're going to continue to see, you know, they're going to continue to seek out those opportunities. Miami, right? They don't even have the assets to be able to do all of that stuff, and they're looking at this and they're saying, you know, it'd be really good if we had a primary ball handler. Like, Pat Riley was literally twerking for LeBron James on the Levitard show today, talking about how desperately they need a creator and how shooting is actually secondary to needing a creator. And the reason he's saying that is because LeBron wants the ball in his hands next year. So Riley and so all of these teams are just like, oh yeah, we're willing to do whatever it takes to get LeBron James. No, you're not. Clearly you're not, because those other things haven't been done yet. Right. So, like, we'll see wherever he goes and what secondary and tertiary moves come from him making that decision whenever he finally makes that decision. But as it stands right now, like, it's just, you know, everybody's just like sitting here waiting for which minimum contract LeBron signs to next season. And like, LeBron on a minimum is incredible value. Like, whoever gets LeBron James on a minimum contract next year is immediately going to become a title contender, because if you have him at that number, you are just, you're getting such insane value there. Think about it like this. I'm pumped about the fact that the Lakers signed Matisse Thybulle to a minimum contract. Imagine how pumped I would be if the Lakers got LeBron on a minimum contract. And that's what all of these teams are waiting for. So, like, the LeBron stands in the media who are like trying to act as if like it's incredible that he's holding up the league even at this stage of his career. Like, yeah, it's because he's about to sign on a contract that is so far below, like, laughably below market value for him. That's what's going on here. It's not anything other than that. All right. Let's see what other comments and questions you guys have. I have to get out of here pretty soon because I'm in charge of dinner tonight. And the kids want spaghetti. So you guys, you know, only get me for so long. Let's see. Don Harold 2452, Kuminga effed up by not accepting that 20 mil two-year offer. His agent is doing a legitimate disservice to him. Because that was a deal that he should have taken. I'm not positive after LeBron makes his decision, especially if LeBron goes to Cleveland, that even that offer is going to still be there for Kuminga. Last year, Kuminga waited all the way till September to sign the contract that he signed with Golden State, the two-year deal that had a player or a team option on it. And I would imagine he's going to have to wait a little while again to land anything even within the same ballpark of that deal. So, like the Lakers were willing to wave and stretch Vando and offer Kuminga that deal. He and his camp said no and said they would wait out for the rest of the market. And then while they waited, the Hawks, one of his options, went and traded for a player at his position who's probably better than him. So, Kuminga, like, there's a... So what the Lakers did, right, obviously, as we talked about earlier, was they called Portland to see if they can, figure out a sign and trade and be able to pay Matisse Thybulle a little bit more and have him on a longer-term contract. And because Portland wasn't willing to play ball there, the Lakers basically had to go back to Thybulle and say, like, our only option here is to sign you to a minimum contract. And so now Thybulle is on that minimum contract. The Lakers might wind up doing the same with Kuminga now, where it's like, look, we tried to figure out a sign and trade for you. And, Atlanta didn't want to play ball. So, like, all we can offer you at this point is a vet min. And given the lack of options elsewhere, you know, you can either go and try to prove it on a bad team next year, or you can try to prove yourself on a team here in LA that is going to be contending for a championship the next 3 to 5 years. So your call, bud, and we'll see what comes of that. But I agree that given the way things played out, Kuminga should be looking at his agent a certain kind of way. All right. So let's do one more question/comment and get up out of here. Let's see. I think we're good. All right. Yeah. I'm just going to go ahead and peace out here. And, I don't know why you're like standing for this guy's ability to make money. You don't get a percentage of it, but, please do, Jonathan Kuminga, go overseas and make $30 million in the 1 year and then be forgotten. Like, here's the thing with talented people. Okay. Talented people get away with more. They just do, right? You can, you hear all the time about Mariah Carey and or like, you know, various musicians and stuff like that. Usher, I think, falls into this category too, right? Who are like divas. They are very particular about like what is to be expected of the venues that they play at. What kinds of contracts that they signed, and they are very difficult about, you know, those things. And they are difficult in that sense because they know they can get away with it because they're really, really talented. And yet, as you'll find out, if you are lucky enough to be so talented, is that day that you are no longer providing the return on investment that, you know, is expected of a really talented person. The fall from grace is quick, you know, and Kuminga and his camp, like some of the stuff that you hear about, like what they were doing there in Golden State, whether it was during their negotiations or after their negotiations or before their negotiations, like Golden State was willing to put up with a lot of bullshit from Kuminga and his camp because there was a return on investment there until there wasn't. And then when there wasn't, Golden State was like, oof, we'll take on Kristaps Porzingis' really bad immune system just to not have to deal with you anymore, Jonathan Kuminga. Go away. And then Kuminga gets to Atlanta, does a lot of the same stuff, while also playing really good, playing really well on occasion there for Atlanta. And Atlanta eventually said, nah. Yeah, no, nope, this sucks. you're not worth the headache. And what you're watching take place here with Kuminga is an entire league basically hearing enough about this guy, recognizing that he doesn't provide consistently enough return on investment for the headache that he can possibly be. And the league is now telling him, you might be a veteran minimum guy. And then see what happens after that next contract, right? Somebody got really angry about me comparing him to Cam Reddish. I'm not saying they're the same player. Kuminga is a better basketball player than Cam Reddish. But look at how Cam Reddish's career played out. High lottery pick, given ample opportunity after ample opportunity and squandered all of those opportunities to the point where, you know what he was doing most recently? He was playing for the Orlando Magic Summer League team. And in the game that I watched, he didn't close out an overtime game for those guys. The league just makes these decisions really quickly on these headaches that are not worth those headaches and moves on really fast nowadays. And I think that's what we're watching here with Jonathan Kuminga, where he and his camp have moved a certain way. The league hasn't respected the way that he and his camp have moved. And now they're basically saying, like, yeah, you're worth this much. And that's it until you prove that you're worth a little bit more. And we'll see if he eventually is able to prove that. But as it stands right now, there's enough question about him that, like, the whole league is basically like, yeah, you're really talented, man, but you're not the brightest bulb in the box. And your camp is really annoying. And your agent is really annoying. The fact that his agent went on the Hoop Collective to make the case for, like, in a public negotiation, that's insanity. You don't see that from anybody else. And I think that we have arrived here at a place where Kuminga's agent is probably going to have a really awkward conversation with Jonathan Kuminga. Teams are looking at that entire camp and saying, like, we're good here, man. And that's how it plays out for talented people who outstay their welcome. We got a super comment here, which means we get to play the most important sound on the show. Fuck Washington! Let's Run UNLV writes, no, Kuminga is a blessing, man. LA avoided a mess. I tend to agree to a certain extent with that sentiment. I think that, especially after hearing some of the stuff that I heard there in Vegas about, like, the stuff that Kuminga and his camp were doing there in Golden State, and then some of the stuff that I heard hearing, you know, about, like, how it went in Atlanta. It's just, you know, those guys who just aren't realistic about where they are in their career and who they are as a basketball player and in relation to the most talented basketball league on the face of the planet. Like, those guys are really difficult to figure out, and you don't want to be that last team that is on the hook for that player on anything more than the vet men, right? We started the show talking about how excited I was about Matisse Thybulle being on the vet men. And the reason I was that kind of excited about it is because, like, there is no downside. If it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. And what the Lakers are trying to limit, and what all of these teams are trying to limit in their negotiations with Jonathan Kuminga and his camp, is, like, they want to limit that downside. They want to limit that risk because of the stuff that they have seen from this guy over the course of his entire career. Now, it's not even like he's super young. He's like 20. What is he? 27. Let's see. Jonathan Kuminga. No, he's 23. Take that back. But still, he's Jonathan Kuminga being 23 years old. And every year he has been in the league, he's been a bit of a headache. And all of these teams, and specifically the two that he's played so far, are, like, you know, decided, yeah, you're really talented, but you are not worth the headache. And when two teams and two good, like, team-wide cultures send that signal out, the rest of the league listens loud and clear. All right. I think I am. Chrisma. So, do you think there's any smoke to the Walter investigation? Look, they are accused of, you know, it's an insurance company that is being accused of moving funny in, you know, financially and stuff like that. Without getting too specific into the allegations, I always think that insurance companies are scamming people because they always are. there is no wider accepted, more widely accepted scam than insurance across the board. And so when I hear that, like, yeah, this billionaire is moving funny and his insurance company is at the center of this investigation, my instinct is always to believe that there's probably some fire to that smoke. As we hear more about it, obviously we'll cover it more here. This doesn't affect, like, I know that there are going to be some Clippers fans who hop on here like, what? Why aren't you covering it as extensively? Have you talked about the aspiration thing? It's like, if it affects the basketball, I'll talk about it because it affects the basketball. Because your cap circumvention, like in Milwaukee, and as we saw with the Clippers, that affects the basketball. That provides an unfair advantage to the Clippers or to the Bucks. And if the allegations against Mark Walter provide an unfair advantage to the Lakers, then I'll hop on here and talk about it more extensively. But as it stands right now, it just sounds like, you know, private business doing private business stuff and insurance companies operating like insurance companies and scamming people, which, that's what insurance companies do. All right. Thank you, everybody, for hopping on here. The somewhat shorter show here because we are reaching that part in the summer, that point in the summer where these conversations start getting a little shorter. If we get any more breaking news, obviously I'll hop right back on here and talk about that breaking news. But this is a good day. Landing Matisse Thybulle for the veteran minimum is very good business here from the Lakers. So those of you who are really, really angry at me all the time for criticizing everything that the Lakers do, and for those of you who always accuse me of not being capable of just praising the Lakers for something, here, that was a great move. This has been a very positive episode. I am in a very good mood about the fact that the Lakers got a legit 3-and-D wing for the veteran minimum. And, you know, I think he's really going to help next year. Have a great rest of your day. Make somebody else's. Hit that subscribe button. Hit that like button. Turn on notifications. Go to Prize Picks. Use promo code HMA. Subscribe wherever it is that you get your podcasts. And I will talk to you guys tomorrow.